today, it's not just taking social responsibility and sticking it onto the edge of your business and going, yes, I've done enough for the world. It's about rethinking the way that you're doing things so that you can change and you can unlock an amazing amount of profit as well as change.
Welcome to an Encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at ForbesBooks.com.
I was in Phoenix, Arizona at the Conscious Capitalism Annual Conference, and I had many great conversations with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Rod Wallace. He's an author, speaker, consultant. He's a business strategist, an economist. How many times do you actually get to talk to an economist rather than people who just have an opinion about the economy? His book is Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology. His website is rodwallaceph.com, rodwallaceph.com. Rod, welcome. What's it like to be an economist?
Well, as soon as you say that, people begin to get bored.
Well, we're not going to do that because, look, not many economists write books like Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology. And not many economists ask questions on their websites like, what's the value in solving society's big problems? I mean, these are big, fascinating questions. And frankly, we don't typically associate them with economists. But it probably would be better if more economists like you were engaged in these kinds of questions.
I completely agree. There's an immense value that is being missed by businesses, by society. You think about the obesity problem, where 72% of Americans are overweight or obese. And yes, it is officially a national emergency. And that provides the type of level of focus that we need. But you think about it from business terms, we're talking about a problem that you do even a back of the envelope estimate of the value that we're losing. It's probably well in excess of $100 trillion. That's 5 years of GDP that we're missing out on because we have not yet solved the obesity and overweight problem in the United States. That we have amazing foods. We have 47,000 foods. If you walk into any supermarket, that's just an amazing amount of variety. Unfortunately, those foods are just not nourishing us, and we, as a result, end up overweight, and we're missing $100 trillion of value.
And we could spend this whole 30 minutes talking about how that value disappears, and I don't want to go down that road. But I do want to point out that I think it's associated to all kinds of things, including productivity at work, healthcare costs, on and on and on and on and on. $100 trillion, you're saying, over 5 years. So how do I take that idea? You brought up one example, obesity. How do I take that idea and how do I make it relevant to my business? Because I'm probably sitting here thinking, I'm not in the healthcare business. I'm not in the fashion business. I'm not in the something else business. So why does this really matter to me?
This matters to you because chances are very, very good that there are social failures that are very much adjacent to yours. I think of businesses having original social responsibilities that the last thousands of years, every industry was created for a very specific social reason. So the food industry created to provide, inexpensive, nourishing food. Our education industry was developed to educate our young. Our housing industry was developed to provide us the opportunity to live in places where we want to live.
And you just mentioned three examples where I think we could look at them and say, there's a lot of failure here. I mean, we have a lot of food that's not nutritional. We have a lot of housing that affordable housing is a big issue. So I think it's pretty safe to assume that there either is not affordable housing or the perception is there's not affordable housing. And education is an affordability issue as well. So now what?
The reality is that the vast majority of American economy is dedicated to industries that have these basic fundamental failures. And each of these failures has huge value that we're just not creating, that businesses are not receiving the profit from, that society isn't creating the benefits from. And the real key is, okay, so we have these basic fundamental failures. That means that, yes, we must have business, and business has to be in the lead, but we have to think about things a little bit differently.
And that would explain why you were at the Conscious Capitalism 2019 annual conference, as was I, because that is, frankly, the fundamental or primary focus of this organization. So I'm listening to this. You've opened my eyes to things I may not have thought of before. Or maybe I thought about them before, but I never thought of them as being as clearly relevant to me and my business as I am now, thanks to you. What do I do about this? And what are you doing to help companies?
The key is to recognize that the approach to delivering all of this undelivered value is to integrate the approach that we have, to begin by recognizing that, you know what, if there is this problem with value not being delivered, profit is simply a measure of value. And if we can unlock it, then we'll obtain some of that value in our businesses. But it's not just, well, shoot, I'm going to improve my product in this way or that way. It really has to be about thinking about how do we adjust society so I can profitably deliver these things. It's an integration of the approach. You think about healthcare, and a lot of times when we think about healthcare, for example, we think about, well, shoot, we just want to have the best doctors with the best machines sitting there so that when we get ill, we'll be fixed. But healthcare
doesn't sound like a really sustainable model for all of us.
Exactly. That, I mean, health is dependent on people eating the right things, exercising, following the doctor's orders. I mean, right now, only 30% of prescriptions are ever filled. And it's because, well, this is not a partnership with the medical community. It's, you know, going to somebody for a service and then walking away and going, well, maybe not, I'll follow through with this.
Or I can't afford it.
And thinking about more broadly what it is that we need to do, because you're right, a lot of people can't afford the medicine. A lot of people are questioning basis what they're finding out on the internet. Well, gosh, maybe this doctor doesn't know what he or she is talking about, or the ability to focus on, well, gosh, maybe there's this alternate variant of what can happen. Look, ensuring that our population is healthy is more than just providing a bright physician with a good set of equipment that he can help us when we're sick. Today, our medical problems and our pharmaceutical problems are not just the right pharmaceuticals and surgery. It also must be that how do we maintain a healthy population, which ensures that people eat healthfully, that we exercise, we follow doctor's orders. I mean, today only 30% of prescriptions are ever filled, partly because we sometimes find something that we think might be better on the internet, sometimes because we think that, you know, shoot, this is just something that I can't afford right now.
Yes.
All kinds of problems.
In all of this conversation about how to integrate social responsibility into one's business, what kind of companies do you work with? If I'm listening and I'm thinking, I really need to take a deep look at this, how can you help me? And how do I get in touch with you to talk about that? How do I even know if I'm an appropriate kind of company to reach out to you?
I tend to work with two types of companies. I work with mid to larger companies, and I work with companies who like to work with them, who may be smaller companies, but really realize that their profit and their value is going to be maximized when they work with larger organizations. And I'm a facilitator, that I work with organizations who want to think this through as a leadership team. And what they're looking for is quality facilitation and some thought process to challenge them in terms of what is happening around them. And what really are some opportunities that they may see every day themselves, but just never thought of in terms of business? And how is it that they can integrate these social responsible things into their business strategy such that they really increase and maximize the profit to themselves and the impact on society?
So part of this might be that as a company, we haven't thought about this before, but we see the value in thinking about it. And another way of looking at this might be, and we've thought about this as an organization, but we really don't know where to go next, and we need the help of a consultant like you. Have I summed that up well?
That's exactly it.
And I'm guessing that if we're never going to embrace social responsibility, we're probably not a good client.
You are not a very good client. If you don't think that there is value in solving problems, then go ahead and look elsewhere.
Yeah, and at the core of everything you're doing is not you should save the world for the sake of saving the world, but there's a two-way street of benefit here. You can really profit by saving the world, so why aren't you doing it? Because the profit is there for you to take advantage of while you do the right thing.
Exactly. Profit is nothing more and nothing less conceptually than a measure of how well you are solving problems. Any salesperson knows that you create more value when you solve a customer's problem. And that's what this is, saying, let's take that basic concept, which is exactly what business is all about, and approach it more broadly to the fact that we have these huge, incredibly value-destroying problems out there. You find a creative way to solve those problems, and you're likely to find a creative way to enhance your own profit while you're doing it.
I'm talking with Dr. Rod Wallace. His book is Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology. And I want to bring it back to the book because I don't want listeners to think this is all about healthcare. I think there's a bigger story there. We're using healthcare as an example of the bigger story. You can find out more about Rod at rodwallaceph.com. He and I met at the Conscious Capitalism Annual Conference in Phoenix. Broaden the conversation now beyond healthcare, unless healthcare really is the foundation.
No, not at all.
Let's make it a bigger conversation that involves what's in the book and why you wrote the book. And the book, again, is Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology.
Let's go really big picture for a second and talk about what's happening. That as we are creating the most amazing technology that's ever existed, I love artificial intelligence and read all kinds of stuff about it and see the amazing impact that it's having on our on our society. But at the same point is we're using that technology to do good things, we're also making our world incredibly complex. I mean, everything from, you know, you go and you buy a suit and you used to say, well, here's my size, and that was it. Well, if you get a custom-made suit today, you're filling out 3-4 pages of paperwork because you can customize everything. That's incredibly complex. And that complexity is unfortunately making it more challenging for our cultural, governmental, and economic systems to operate the way that and deliver the positive outcomes that we have. And so we do have a number of failures. More than 60% of the U.S. economy is dedicated to industries that don't deliver the basics that they were created for, these original social responsibilities, you know, that healthcare was created to help us be healthy, but we're not. Americans have the shortest lifespan in the developed world. Our educational system was developed to educate our young, but it's certainly struggling and it's certainly incredibly expensive. The food industry to provide nourishing food, but it's not doing that, et cetera, et cetera. And each of these things has incredible value associated with it. And if we're not getting all of those outcomes that we need, we need to say, well, how do we do that? And we do that by beginning by recognizing the strength of our economy are our businesses, our profit-driven businesses who have the ability to think very broadly and ability to act very broadly. And when you have these huge, massive problems that means that nobody is getting value in our society, well, shoot, those businesses want some of that value as profit.
So what's your background? How did you get to where you are today and this view of the world?
I got here fairly roundabout. Most directly, I'd say that I got here because of my kids. I was working in a relatively straightforward career. I was living in the Netherlands, working at my career as on the leadership team of a oil refining business, a $5-6 billion a year business, and really focused on that. And then one Sunday afternoon, I had a conversation with my wife, and she said, I'm done. I'm going back to Delaware, and our marriage is over, and I'm going to take our son. And I remember sitting there going, oh my gosh, what's next? Because my marriage was over. My son was moving to Delaware, and there were no jobs like what I did in Delaware. So I was choosing between work and life. And there was this one single decision that I had to make that was going to determine both what happened to me in terms of my business career and in my personal life. And that just blew me out of the water because I thought of business and society almost as separate until that. Mm-hmm. You know, I had these bubble for work and this bubble for life, and there was like a wall between them. And I had to make this choice. And I chose my son. I wanted to be a father. I wanted him to grow up in the most supportive environment. But in realizing this, I realized that, you know, business and society aren't separate. That business is part of society. There's no separate bubbles. There's these big, complex, interweaving things that if we want a successful life, we need successful work. And if we want successful work, we need a successful life. And the same thing is true in business. It was then that I came to the real understanding of how these things are intertwined with one another. If you talk to people, people know that failures in our educational system, our school system, cause problems for business. But the problems are really more complex and intertwined than that, that we need successful suppliers and employees at their best, and we need those customers who want our value-added products and services. And all of those things in combination is what's required for a successful business. And this interplay between business and society is so deep. And as our world is getting more complex, and as our society is just getting more interwoven with itself, to get those successful outcomes, which means profit and return for business, and it means a positive outcome for society, we have to consider more elements of society than we used to.
And that's a really fascinating place to go if you're willing to do it, although also kind of a scary place to go. And I'm guessing that part of what you're doing in your work as an author, a speaker, and a consultant is helping companies do that, ask those questions, have those inquiries, because it's really hard to do that when you're also running and growing a business.
It is very difficult. And yet, what I found is that the frustration with the failures that surround us in many aspects of our society today make it so that people are more interested in thinking about these types of things. Not just, hey, let's think about it, or certainly over a beer, but also let's think about it, how we can use this to make more money. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. So I've worked with one of the leaders in the chocolate industry as they were working with the entire cocoa and chocolate industry to figure out, well, how can they really help redesign and strengthen the cocoa growing regions in West Africa and the rest of the world? And by effectively creating almost like a division within the broader chocolate business, they were able to both significantly that's designed to strengthen the cocoa growing regions. They were able to both do good for society and strengthen the sourcing parts of their business. They get a lot of good publicity. Their employees are more engaged. And yes, it's very much a profit-driven element of their business as well.
The word transformation comes to mind.
Yes, transformation. And that's really what this is about, is saying, let's not just optimize locally and figure out how we can do the next incremental quality improvement in our product, or let's not just figure out how we can cut costs by the next 1%. It's where is it that society is failing? Because when you got those social failures around you, you got lots of value. And can we change the system in a way that we can unlock some of that value for ourselves as well as for others?
So a word comes to mind as you're describing the scenario with this chocolate company, and I'll bet you have lots of other examples like that, but a word comes to mind, which is millennials. I mean, this seems like the kind of ideas that we associate with millennials. You're not a millennial, or I don't think you are.
I am not a millennial. And
first of all, millennials don't have, I think you said, I don't remember how old you said your son is, but you're too old to have a son the age he is and be a millennial. So is part of the thing we should be thinking about here is stop thinking about this as a millennial thing. I'm making air quotes as I say that. It's not a millennial thing. It's a real thing that's important for your business. And maybe we should even be thankful for millennials for making it bubble up to the surface. We're helping make it bubble up to the surface.
I'm incredibly thankful for millennials that they're making this stuff bubble up to the surface, because that's fantastic. I'm also incredibly thankful that we have people other than millennials involved in business, because the challenge isn't saying, hey, what's good for society? Let's do some of that and we're going to feel good. The key is, how do we position this to unlock the value in solving the problems? And that's where a traditional focus of business of, gosh, we've got to get a return, we've got to get profit, that comes in and plays an incredible role in making sure that we're not just out there wasting our money, wasting our resources, but we're really creating meaningful change. The millennials are helping us change our mindset, so that rather than just achieving incremental growth, which is critical and useful, but we also have the potential of creating massive shifts in in the level of profit that we can get, the level of change that we can create across society.
I'm going to read something from your website. I'm talking with Rod Wallace, Dr. Rod Wallace, Rod Wallace, PhD. His website is rodwallacephd.com. His book is Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology. But as you can tell, what we're talking about here is even bigger than that. I think the drowning in potential part sums it up, but it's much bigger than technology itself. I want to read something from your website, and then in close, I want you to talk about this because I think it really distills everything we're talking about here brilliantly. Here's what it says. Integrate social responsibility into your business to increase profit, to attract customers and employees, to positively impact your community and world. And I think part of what you're going to tell us is it's all of those things. When you integrate social responsibility into your business, the benefit is all of those things. So everybody benefits. You, your company, your employees, your community, your customers, and the world at large.
Exactly. That today, it's not just taking social responsibility and sticking it onto the edge of your business and going, yes, I've done enough for the world. It's about rethinking the way that you're doing things so that you can change and you can unlock an amazing amount of profit as well as change. You think about how if we want to really deliver nourishing food, we don't just stick an ear of corn in front of a hungry person. That's not going to be enough. We need to have consumers understand the basics of the healthful choices. We need food labels that are more understandable and straightforward. If you want to educate people, it's not just having great, caring teachers in front of the classroom, although that's a wonderful start. But education also means ensuring that schools are there that are safe, that the children can learn the basic skills, that we understand and how to get the most out of people who have learning disabilities. All of these things are really complex questions, but yes, they are integrated with one another. And no matter what your business is, if you take that step back, and you will almost certainly, given the state of the American economy and American society, find these problems right adjacent to your business. And if you rethink your approach about how you integrate and you use those social responsible actions in a way that changes the environment around you, such that they are part of your business in a way to create more value for yourself, then you've unlocked the magic and you've unlocked the potential to change the level of profit, not just increase it a little bit.
I don't know how to top that. So I think we're going to wrap this up here. He's Dr. Rod Wallace. His website is rodwallacephd.com. His book is Drowning in Potential, How American Society Can Survive Digital Technology. He's an author, speaker, consultant. He's an economist. He's a business strategist. Rod, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to this Encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at forbesbooks.com.